Today's broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the Sunday service of February 18, 2018. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Mary and Gary Egan. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship this morning, this first Sunday in Lent. It is good to be gathered together in God's house this morning. Today is an exciting day of worship. We have a baptism today for baby Mason Stika. We also are welcoming new members to our congregation today, so it's a great day here. But it's also a sad day because this past weekend, sadness came to this congregation, our dear friend June Scheel. Passed away unexpectedly but peacefully. And so today we grieve together. Her service is this Wednesday at 11 a.m. with 2 hours beforehand for visitation. Today we're going to do something different for Lent. In years past, I understand Holy Trinity has saying hold an evening prayer, but on Wednesdays. Today we're going to do it on a Sunday. But without further announcements, let's stand and let's dive on in.
Christ, you are the light of the world.
The light from darkness cannot come.
Stay with us now, for it is morning.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness. Pathways and
prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your presence surround and fill us, so that in union with all creation we might sing your praise and your love in our lives. Amen. You may be seated as we hear our special music for this morning. Now, as we're getting to Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 1 begins with Adam and Eve in the garden, God's perfect plan for creation, yet it didn't quite go as planned, right? Something went wrong. And that something continued to go wrong, even when Adam and Eve went away from the garden, Cain and Abel. And so we continue in chapter 6 here, verse 5. It says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great." on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. That's pretty bad. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth. Wow. The Lord was sorry that he'd made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out the earth from the humans that I've created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But there's a but. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. You see, there's this problem, right? God's plan of creating a perfect garden, a utopia, didn't quite pan out. God saw the wickedness and the human evil in the world, and it grieved him to his heart so bad that God said he was sorry that God even made humans in the first place. Wow. So now, how is God going to resolve this? Let's pick up on verse 11. 6, verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the one who found favor in the sight of the Lord, I've determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. So first solution was to do over utopia, the garden. Return to the garden, if you will, where the perfect ones were saved and the sinners were destroyed. God's saying, we're going to try this sinless world thing one more time. All right, let's fast forward. Chapter 7, verse 1. This is a long story, so we're kind of doing a few verses at a time here. So the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and its mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, and the male and its mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the air also, male and female, to keep their kind alive on the face of the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. So think for yourself this morning, the most righteous person you can think of. In this story, the best person God could think of was Noah. The best person for the job was Noah. The most faithful, righteous person alive. So think, if you could, of taking the most righteous person you know, the most faithful person, and starting a whole community with them. So it'd be them, and then if they've got kids, their family, so at least then they're not tainted by the sinful world of us. That's the plan. That was God's plan. All right, let's fast forward to verse 11, chapter 7, verse 11. You're doing great hanging in there with me here. So in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were open. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And on the very same day, Noah with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons, they entered the ark. They and every wild animal of every kind, and all domestic animals of every kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every bird of every kind, every bird, every winged creature, they went into the ark with Noah. 2 and 2 of all flesh, of which there was the breath of life. And those who entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them. And the Lord shut the doors. The Lord shut them in and said, here we go. This is the plan. And the waters rushed in, and the rest was flooded. Skip ahead to chapter 8. Flip the page. And we're just reading the story today. Chapter 8, verse 6. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out the raven. And it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. And then he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot, and it returned to him to the ark. For the waters were still in the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took it and brought it in the ark with him. He waited another 7 days. And again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening. And there was in its beak a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. And then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and this time it did not return to him anymore. I'm going to read a couple more verses here. So in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked and saw that the face of the ground was drying. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry, and then God said to Noah, go out of the ark. My plan worked. Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And so Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out of the ark by families. Problem solved. Right? Problem solved, right? I want to look at another verse here with you. This one I'm going to have you read with me. I'm going to read verse 20, and then I want you to come in on verse 21. Chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. So when they got off the ark, Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Here we go. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. Wait a second. Wickedness, evil, that was the problem. Was it solved? As the Lord saw his vision come to fruition, he realized this great plan, this great do-over, didn't work. The inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. What? Wait a second. Noah was blameless, right? Noah was righteous, right? And the first thing God sees after this plan was that the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. The first description of humankind after the problem was solved. Huh. Even Noah? Evil from youth? Even Noah? If you want further proof of Noah's sinfulness, you can read chapter 9 on your own. Starting at verse 18 later on. Okay, but for now, God sought to eliminate the problem of evil, sent a flood to solve the problem, saving only a righteous man and his family, and the problem wasn't solved. So now what? What do we do now? One more little bit. Let's read. Chapter 9, verse 8. And that part that if you want to read on your own starts at verse 18. But we'll read verse 8. So God said to Noah and to his sons with him, as for me, I'm establishing my covenant with you. Even though the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now look up. I want you to tell me there's a sign that God gives, a sign for this covenant, a symbol. What is that sign? All right, rainbow, I heard that. Let's look close. Verse 12, God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the clouds. Notice it doesn't say rainbow, it says bow. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Quick word on that. God saw that humankind didn't change, but something had to. Someone had to change. So God did. As we just saw, a lot of us, a lot of times, we think of this bow as a rainbow, but it doesn't say rainbow. It doesn't say rainbow. It says bow. Now, a bow is a weapon, a bow and arrow. A bow is a weapon. A bow is what you use on the battlefield. By setting a bow in the clouds, it's a sign that God's hanging up his weapon. He said, I'm not going to do that again. That's not how I'm going to deal with evil again. Humans didn't change, but God chose to hand over his weapon. Well, when the flood came, God saved Noah, his family, and the animals. God brought life out of death. That's what we're celebrating, the season of Lent. God bringing life out of death. But it seems to me that there's another life out of death story here too. It's as if God had two choices. One, where the world would be free of sin, pain, and suffering, but there wouldn't be creatures, right? Otherwise, Noah would have to go too, and Noah's family, and the animals. It'd be like God playing with stuffed animals in this world. Option one. Or, God could pick a world where there was full of life, but all the sorts of risks therein. Either death or life. And I think Noah's Ark is the story of God choosing life. In all the evil, the sin, the wrongdoing, the pain, the hurt, the conflicts, the mistakes, the smells, the failings, all that life entails. God choosing that. Even Noah, who was evil from birth, from youth. It's God saying, I tried this death plan, but by putting my bow in the clouds, I promise you, this is my covenant, I'm not going to do that again. So as God looked to Noah, he saw a man who was sinful from youth. Even after the flood story, that didn't change. And yet God decided that life for creatures on earth, even though they're suffering, even though it's difficult sometimes, this life is worth it. So as we look to what's to come in the season of Lent, we see that God didn't stay unaffected by this decision. By giving sinful human beings a place in this world, God took a chance that they would continue to hurt each other and even hurt himself. And if there was anything that would make God regret placing his bow in the clouds, it would have been seeing the anguish of his own son, betrayed and crucified. And yet God didn't eliminate the scribes, the Pharisees, and the chief priests with another flood. Instead, he forgave them. And he loved them. Until the end. But that's a story for another week. So stay tuned. Amen. This time we turn back to our Holden Evening Prayer books. Page 8. God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless our God.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.